Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this second Sunday in Lent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to remind you this week, Tuesday, we will be having a community meeting here for the health centers that we hope to have built here in the Northeast. There's a flyer in your bulletin. The meeting will be begin here at 6 o'clock, so 6:30 actually. So please come out and support that. If you are in the neighborhood and you know folks who live in the neighborhood, bring them out too. It's important for the council people and others to know that people both want and need this health center. And so again, it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. here at Alney Presbyterian Church. There are other things, of course, that will be going on at Alney Church. Please take the time to both read your bulletin as well as go to our web page to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading comes from Psalm chapter 22, verses 23 through 31, and it is found on page 475 of your pew Bibles. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you sons of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you sons of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hid his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From thee comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Yea, to him shall all the proud of the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and he who cannot keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. Men shall tell of the Lord to the coming of generations, and proclaim his deliverance to people yet unborn, that he has wrought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 8 of Mark's gospel, beginning at verse 31 and reading through 38. It's found on page 875 of your pew Bible. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And he called to him the multitude with his disciples, and he said to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of God. Amen. Every time I read that passage, I can't help but to think of one of the episodes of Bart Simpson. I don't know if I'd recommend people watching Bart Simpson, but it was a particularly funny episode. It was an episode where Bart had lost his soul. Or I should say he had sold his soul for $5, but the whole episode was about Bart trying to get his soul back. Everywhere he went, he saw people with their souls. He went to the park and there would be people in the park walking with their souls. Or he would go to the lake and again there would be folks sailing and having fun with their souls. But he was sad because he didn't have a soul. He had sold his soul. It was a funny episode, but unfortunately it happens all the time in the real world. People lose their souls, they lose their lives. We're reminded of the German legend Dr. Faustus, who sells his soul in order to gain power and knowledge. He sells his soul to the devil, but people often do that all the time. I often like the old King James version of this passage where it talks about souls. Jesus says, whoever, what good is it if you lose your souls? But in both the Greek and Hebrew words that are usually translated into soul, it simply means life. And so that was the word that the NRSV used this morning, life. It is a reference to our whole life, that essential part of who we are. And people lose them all the time. People lose their souls all the time. They lose their lives, or I should say, they sell their souls all the time for all kinds of things. They sell their souls for money, for prestige, for status, for fame, for acceptance, for power. Just some of the things that people sell their souls for. I was reading once about a young woman who grew up in the church. She was very gifted musically, but she wanted fame and fortune, and so she set out to achieve those things. She made little compromises all along the way until one day she realized that she had completely sold out. She had completely lost and moved away from that essential part of who she was. She had sold out the things she valued, the people and the things she cared about in order to obtain fame and fortune. She had lost her soul. At age 29, Millard Fuller was already an accomplished businessman. He had lots and lots of money, an important and prestigious position. He had a thriving business. He hobnobbed with lots of important and influential people. He had everything that a person could want except a soul. Along the way, in obtaining all of that, he had lost his soul. He stopped being the loving, caring family man that he had been and turned into a cold, calculating, money-driven workaholic. And it was his wife who helped to save him. She warned him that if he didn't change, that she planned to leave him, and that was enough to prompt a reevaluation to reclaim his life and redeem his soul. To make a long story short, he ditched all the other stuff and along with his wife founded what today is called Habitat for Humanity, which was something more in keeping with his values and his faith. But he was in danger of losing his soul, losing his life. I was listening to a real good Baptist preacher not long ago, grew up in the Appalachian Mountain region of the country. His father had been a Presbyterian minister who had taken a vow of poverty to work with some of the most disadvantaged people in the country. So this preacher knew what it meant to be poor and needy. As a teenager, he received a scholarship to attend one of the most prestigious prep schools in the country. And while there, he made many friends and acquaintances, people who came from families with substantial wealth and means. And occasionally during the holidays, he would be invited to go home with some of his wealthy friends, and he was overtaken by their lifestyles. They had butlers and maids and chauffeurs and all kinds of wonderful things. They lived in glamorous and ritzy places. And that's the kind of lifestyle he wanted for himself. And then one day, one of his friends asked if they could come and visit him. And while he said, yes, sure, it's fine, he was actually ashamed. He was ashamed to let his rich friend see where he lived and the poverty that characterized his life. But he was losing his soul. Of course, it's not just individuals who can lose their souls. Businesses can lose their souls. Universities can lose their souls. Nonprofit organizations can lose their souls. Political parties can lose their souls. Even nations, whole nations can lose their souls. They can lose that essential part of who they are, of who they say they are, of what they want to be. And of course, there's nothing necessarily wrong with some of the things we might want to be. There's nothing wrong with fame. There's nothing wrong with fortune. There's nothing wrong with security. There's nothing wrong with acceptance or power, as long as they don't come at the expense of your soul. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says, what good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul, lose your life? What will you give in return for your life? What will you give in return for your soul? That's part of the question of the passage that we read from Mark's gospel. In our passage, Jesus rebukes Peter because Peter is tempting Jesus away from his life, away from the essential life that Jesus has been called to live. Jesus calls Peter Satan, not because Peter is evil, but because Peter is trying to tempt Jesus away from his soul, away from the life that God had called him to live. And that's true for all of us. God has called us to live in a way that retains our souls, that retains our lives. One of the things that Jesus is doing in the gospel narratives, of course, is he is shaping and forming a community of God's people around himself. That is, he is shaping and forming a community of God's people around his life of self-giving, sacrificial love for the sake of others. In other words, Jesus is saying that life is not about what we often want it to be about, what we often think it ought to be about. It's not about grasping and getting. It's not about securing and fortifying and protecting your life at the expense of others. But life is about giving and serving and sacrificing and even suffering on behalf of the well-being of others. And Jesus is saying that's the kind of life that retains your soul, that fortifies your soul. That's what life is all about. It's not about just looking after ourselves, but it's about being concerned for our neighbors. It's about being concerned for others. It's about being concerned for the well-being of the whole world. It's interesting that Jesus in this passage doesn't refer to himself as Christ. That's what Peter says in the passage preceding the one we read this morning. Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. And indeed, that's who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. We have already heard twice now from Mark's gospel where the divine voice has declared him to be that. The divine voice has declared Jesus to be the Son of God, the Christ, the King, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But interestingly enough, that's not usually the way that Jesus refers to himself. Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man, which is just a way of Jesus saying that he is the human one. He is the humane one. He is the one whose life is truly reflective of who God is. He is the one whose life truly reflects God's image. As the Apostle Paul says in Colossians, he is in the image of the invisible God. But that's true of all of us. All of us human beings were made in the image of God. We were called to be human. We were called to be humane. And yet we know we live in a world where that's the challenge for people to be humane. For people to lay hold of their souls, for people to know what it really means to live. So much inhumanity around us, so much cold-heartedness around us, and yet Jesus says, what good is it? What good is it if you are running the rat race? What good is it if you're grasping after more and more things? What good is it if you gain the whole world and you've lost your essential humanity? You've lost your soul. You've lost what you were created to be. Creatures who reflect God's image. This Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting. And again, the meeting is for a health center in this region of the city. In many respects, it's a no-brainer because there are many, many people who are in need of that kind of a health center. Some of us were at the one on Cottman Avenue, and it's filled to capacity, people sometimes not being able to get an appointment for several months into the future. And so the health center is definitely needed, and you would think this would be a no-brainer. A health center for people who are in need of healing, a health center for people who are sick, a health center for people who don't have the means to secure healing in any other way, that ought to be a no-brainer. And yet sometimes we can be so wrapped up in ourselves. Sometimes we can be so wrapped up in preserving our advantages. Sometimes we can be so wrapped up in trying to make sure that certain people don't enter into the community. Sometimes we can be so wrapped up in wanting to make sure that our property values are secure that we lose our humanity. We don't care. We stop being humane. We lose our very soul. I've been following a little bit of what's going on in the world, especially in the Middle East. Following what is happening there, the bloodshed and the conflict and the basic inhumanity that human beings show to each other. Our willingness to kill for things, in this particular instance, for land. And our inhumanity knows no bounds. It knows no boundaries. It doesn't respect any particular religion. We can all be terribly inhumane to each other, as were the Hamas fighters who killed so many Israelis on October the 7th. And yet it's even sadder in my view that Israel has orchestrated a killing campaign where over 30,000 people have lost their lives and is on the verge of continuing the bloodshed to people in Rafah, especially after they were told to go there. And what makes it so sad is that Israel is a country that was founded upon horror, the horror that people had done to them. The horror where people said, never again will we step back and watch this kind of thing happen, never again. And yet here in the midst of this particular situation, in a fight over land, they have lost their soul. They have lost their humanity. They have lost what it means to be human beings made in the image of God. But Jesus says, what good is it? What good is it if you gain all the land? What good is it if you maintain your property values? What good is it if you maintain your nice, pristine neighborhood? What good is it if you keep people from being able to come into your neighborhood and your community? What good is it if you're able to secure all the goodies for yourself? What good is it if you gain the whole world? But you've lost that essential part of yourself, that self that makes you human, that self that makes you reflective of the image of God. What good is it? We have a few more weeks of Lent to go as we walk with our Savior Jesus Christ to the cross, shedding all of those identities that cause us to not see our neighbor. The cross where Jesus calls us to pick up. The cross where Jesus bids us to die to ourselves. And Jesus says that if we are ashamed to do that, he will be ashamed of us when he returns in glory. And so again, I would ask, what good is it if you gain everything but lose the most important thing? Your soul, your life. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this morning. We give you thanks for calling us as your people, for calling us to the way of what it really means to live, to calling us to be the people who love each other as you have loved each and every one of us, to love each other as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loved all of us by giving himself for the sake of the whole world. Lord, help us to be people who are shaped and formed around his self-giving, sacrificial love for others. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.